Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Guess who's back on the tube? The brothers Garcia, all grown up and getting ready for the summer. The Garcias return as an HBO Max series next Thursday. And creator, executive producer, and showrunner Jeff Valdez joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, who will run Warner Brothers Discovery? TMZ test hip-hop, our classic trivia question, and Jon Stewart, critical race theory junkie. Really? Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Verbal Reason, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. This is all the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in our program. It is raining. Lots of drops all over New York City at this hour, 48 degrees at the top of the hour. And on this Thursday, we welcome you to a special edition of the program all about TV's current and future. If you have a question or comment for our guests ahead, get those phone calls in and the chat room going too. As far as the phone calls go, here's the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio. Chat room is open as well, as I just mentioned. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow those instructions. Another thing to be live with you. From the Garcias, Jeff Valdez joins us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. WarnerMedia appears hours away from cementing its marriage with Discovery, Inc. and becoming Warner Bros. Discovery. Here's the latest on how the coming executive suite shakes up where TV matters are concerned. Casey Bloys will continue as HBO and HBO Max's chief content officer. Channing Dungey will remain chairperson of Warner Brothers TV Group. Discovery executive Kathleen Finch will move into the new role of U.S. Networks Group chairperson and chief content officer. That involves 40-plus domestic networks from TBS to TLC. Fox-owned stations in 10 cities from New York to Seattle will premiere TMZ Hip Hop, a TMZ offshoot series devoted to the music categories, personalities, and trends. The series will get a 4-week run on all 10 stations. If viewership comes together, TMZ Hip Hop may go into national syndication next fall or find a home on smart TV distributed network Fox Soul. A lot of quickies for you, so here we go. More winning time to come. HBO's greenlighted a second season of the scripted pro basketball series on the Los Angeles Lakers. Oprah Winfrey and Viola Davis will unite for a Netflix interview special April 22nd. Food Network's Supermarket Stakeout opens a new round of episodes May 17th. Upcoming Neil Gaiman novel adaptation, Nasty Boys, has cast Whoopi Goldberg in a key role, the menacing Bird Woman. Amazon Studios is producing the series. 55 TV series pilots will take part in Series Fest annual independent competition next month. The annual Denver-based TV festival is going back live in person in Denver starting on May 5th. Fox will bring The Cleaning Lady back for season 2. That story just came in. And before we went on the air, we also learned that there will be new episodes on ABC of Celebrity Family Feud, Press Your Luck, and the $100,000 Pyramid, which is taped here in New York this July as part of the reworked ABC's Summer Fun and Games package. And in case you don't know, Tiger Woods is playing the first round of the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia. As of 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, a half hour ago, Woods was even par through 11 holes, 3 shots behind the leaders. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me live from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive from the Garcias, premiering a week from today on HBO Max, creator, executive producer, and showrunner, Jeff Valdez. Jeff, it is welcome to very happy to reconnect with you.
Awesome to hear your voice again, Simon. I'm happy to be here. And by the way, I'd like to sign up for the audio free trial and put my resume to run Time Warner or the new Warner Brothers Discovery, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Just go to audibletrial.com, says televised, and do what you got to do. Jeff,
awesome.
The Brothers Garcia was your baby, had a great run on Nickelodeon.
Yes, it was.
A decade and a half ago. What made you decide the time was right to bring the family back, but this time as adults?
You know, I'd been trying since 2011 to get the rights back, and it took me 7 years. And then when Bob Bakish took over as CEO of Viacom, I was unsuccessful before that. And then when he came on, I went to him and said, Bob, there's no Latino shows with a family that's not associated with drugs or crime or anything. And, you know, we need to bring them back. The time is right. And he agreed, and he sold me the rights back to the so we can do the Garcias.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, where did HBO Max come into the picture?
Well, we had a deal. My partner, Sol Trujillo, who's, you know, an amazing partner. He's run three global telcos in France and Australia and the United States, ran U.S. West, Telstra, and Orange. And, you know, he basically went to the folks at AT&T who had just bought Warner and said, there's an opportunity for this market, and we got an overall deal. And when it was time to so we had to select, submit five shows. You know, we submitted five shows, but said, look, you know, the logical show is this show because there were a lot of people that loved it. It was syndicated in 60 countries around the world, and it's a very universal show. It's not a Latino show. It's a family show that has a family whose last name happens to be Garcia.
Mm-hmm. So in bringing the show back and updating it to where we are today, what was the most important thing on your mind in terms of having the brothers become mature adults?
Well, you know, it was interesting because when we first decided to do the show, there were some people on our team who said, you should just put new kids and make the new set of Garcia kids and just redo the brothers Garcia. And I'm like, we did that already. I don't want to just put a new George, a new Carlos, a new Lorena. I said, I think people would be more interested in seeing what happened to these kids. So I actually went on YouTube where there's pirated episodes, and I posted on the pirated episodes, which I know is probably not right, but a lot of our fans are up there commenting on the show. I said, what do you guys want to see? And all the fans on YouTube that were watching pirated episodes said, no, we want to see what happens to the kids. Did Larry become an astronaut? You know, did George make it in the tech world? You know, Carlos, did he completely fall apart, you know, because his ego was so big? You know, so we, you know, do they have kids? Are they married? So I just started creating this new version of it. And the, just as important as the original one is creating a sense of normalcy. And that's such a key thing, you know. And I always tell people what we're doing is not programming, we're deprogramming. Because we're doing programming based on what, you know, as long as I've known you, and I've always, you know, been concerned about the lack of actual normalcy when it comes to our community.
Once you got that green light, how much of the original cast were you able to get back? What was it like for them to sort of replay their – not just replay their roles, but sort of bring them to 2022?
Well, you know, once I got the rights back, I called everybody to the house, and I said, look, I've got the rights back. Let's shoot a little video. Hired a little camera crew and shot a little demo video here. And I said, I'm going to use this to go out and sell it so we can get a series order. But everybody immediately said yes. And they all got together here at the house, and it was like you have friends when you haven't seen them for a while, and you just see them and you pick up right where you left off. And that's really what happened that day. And then I said, okay, let me go sell this thing. Then we finally convinced HBO Max to do it. And, I literally brought the cast a week in early to the set and to the location. And, you know, after 2 days of them rehearsing, they said, now we're good. We got this. And then they just went, you know, just laid out by the pool and on the beach at that point.
1 week from today, you're going to see the result of what Jeff Valdez has been up to. It's The Garcias, and it will premiere next Thursday on HBO Max, available on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. In some areas, it's also on your local cable system. Jeff joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Televised. Happy you're with us on this special Thursday afternoon edition. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York, where right now it is 48 degrees at the top of the hour and raining, and we're expecting even more rain and some thunderstorms as the day goes on. And if you have a question or comment for Jeff, make the phone call 646-652-2906 or use the chat room to get your thoughts going. That's SimonApple04 by name. We will be at our regular time period and our regular day tomorrow, less than 24 hours from now. And joining us, reset from Monday's episode, will be from the acclaimed new Apple TV Plus spy dramedy Slow Horses, starring Academy Award winner Gary Oldham, director and executive producer James Hawes. That's tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, another Internet Radio exclusive interview coming your way right here on Tomorrow Televised. You know, for a program that is trying to showcase normalcy, the production situation was very abnormal.
It's an American family, and you know, George is married to his wife is from Mexico, and the beauty of shooting in Mexico, we're able to show people you know, this family's American. Their last name's Garcia, but they're American, and they're in Mexico. So they're kind of fish out of water, and people don't realize how can somebody with a last name like Garcia be a fish out of water in Mexico? It's like because they're not Mexican. They're American, and they have Mexican descent, but they're not Mexican. They're not from Mexico. And when we where we shot was near Tulum in the Riviera Maya. In our first 2 weeks, we had two tropical storms, and then on wrap week, we had a hurricane. On average, it was about 95 degrees, 85% humidity, and we did it during COVID. So, and everybody had to wear masks the entire time and face shields, and it was absolutely brutal production conditions. We had a cast and crew of 165, but we got through it, and you know, you can see the everybody had smiles on their face because they were so passionate about making this new show.
Plus, in addition to your cast, you had some very, very special guest stars.
Oh, yeah. Emilio Rivera from Mayans MC is on there. There's a scene where Emilio was going to have to jump off of a cliff into a cenote, which is like a big open water, fresh water thing. There's cenotes all around the Riviera Maya. And I said, well, we'll get a stuntman for you. He goes, no, I'll do it, but you got to jump with me. So I said, well, that doesn't scare me. I've been making that jump with my kids since we've been going to this town of Puerto Venturas for 20 years. And I said, I'm not worried about the jump, but what I am worried about is acting. So I did my cameo and played a priest, which my family is still in shock about because I'm not the priest type. But and so Emilio and I did he calls me Butch Cassidy now. So we jumped off a cliff together, and then we had Valente Rodriguez do a cameo from the George Lopez show. He plays Ernie, and he crushed it in episode 10 on a scene called George's Nightmare. That every time everybody sees that scene, they just, you know, burst into tears. It's like really funny, and it really is very, very heartfelt. Paul Rodriguez was there. He was married to Maria Conchita, and they had a really funny role. Carmen Carrera, who's a trans activist, she plays Kim, and we cast her in a sense of normalcy. She's not a trans character. She's not a circus. She's just an actress. She plays Kim, who runs the beauty shop. And she was, you know, I saw her at the premiere the other night. She said, I'm so thankful that you guys just cast me as an actress. I'm Kim, who works at the beauty salon. And that's you know, kind of the dynamic of the whole thing.
Yeah. And we should point out that Maria Conchita is, for many people who may not know, Maria Conchita Alonso, Moscow Hung the Hudson, her wonderful role opposite Robin Williams in that terrific movie. Before that, Queen of the Telenovelas. Did all sorts of other nice acting roles as well, both English and Spanish. How is she doing? What was it like for her to jump into the role?
Oh, she was great. I mean, and I'll tell you, we would go to dinner because we were in a gated community, so there were like, you know, 20 restaurants in there that we had to choose from. So we were kind of in a bubble. And every time we'd go out to dinner, people were just so thrilled to see her just, you know, just walking around the city. I mean, we, you know, basically our whole crew, we just took this town over. And we also cast a lot of local people, in particular a lot of Mayan local people who had never acted before. You know, we just gave them a, you know, quick acting 101 lesson and put them in the show. And I went back there and did a special screening for all the locals, and they were so moved to see themselves on TV. It was just really, really powerful. And by the way, before I forget, Simon, we're dropping three episodes April 14, then two more April 21, two more April 28, two more May 5th, and the finale on May 12th.
Incidentally, explain how the situation goes. The family is going, how they end up in Mexico, and what are some of the adventures that they have down there?
Sure. George, the middle brother, was always a tech geek when he was younger, and now he's a tech millionaire. He's made a lot of money, and his older brother now works for him. So they flip-flop roles in that the older brother was the cool guy, and George was kind of the nerd. Now George is the rich nerd, and his brother kind of hangs on with him. So his brother and his wife, who's Korean, and we actually cast the Korean actress in a Korean role. No, how did they do that? It was so simple. And they have a biracial kid, two biracial daughters, and they're living with George and his wife, who's Mexican, and their daughter, who's, you know, half Mexican, and half Mexican-American. And they live in a big house, and they're there. And then the sister shows up. She quits her job and comes down to join her son who's visiting. And then the grandparents, they show up. And then at the end, family just keeps showing up at the house, you know, and it's a big, beautiful home on the beach. And eventually everybody's under one roof by the end of the season. But that's how they all came together. And then, you know, I mean, just the stories are everything. You know, episode two is about the, you know, Yun Jin, who is the Carlos's wife. She's into Reiki and chakras and all the natural spiritual stuff. And she has a big conflict with her mother-in-law who wants to have her granddaughters baptized. Right. And there's the guy that does our internet, our TikTok videos, he's like, oh my God, that's playing. And he's not Latino. So that's playing out in real time in my house right now. My Italian grandmother and my Italian mother is having an issue with my sister-in-law, who, you know, she's kind of a hippy dippy, and, you know, she doesn't want a baptism, and the mother does. He said, I can so relate to that. So, you know, that was a story. We have a story where the brothers have this big conflict, and then, you know, the wives get pulled into it, and then they have to find their way out of it. So there's lots of, and it's serialized. So you can't just, you know, watch episode four without having watched episode one, two, and three.
When it comes to diversity,
you could, but you'd be lost.
Almost 100%. I would say, when it comes to diversity, 100% Latino cast, 100% in terms of writing staff, almost 100% directing. What kind of environment does that bring about when you have everybody sort of on the same wavelength?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, Hollywood on average has about 2-5% Latino representation in front of and behind the camera, and that's been like that since as long as I've known you, Simon. It's never really gotten better. And the sad part is a majority of that 2-5%, the images are, you know, generally associated with crime. So in ours, we're at 92%. So either we're geniuses, which I promise you we're not, or people in Hollywood just aren't trying that hard. And it's very fixable. I mean, we fixed it in a matter. It took us, gosh, almost 2 weeks to get to 92%. It's taken Hollywood 50 years, and they can't get above 2-5%. And we also had full and creative control of the show. And another thing is we own the show. It's, you don't hear that too often. We literally own our negatives. We own all international rights. It's our show. And we license it to HBO Max. And so by having complete control of it, you know, it's really authentic. We didn't have on the set because oftentimes, and I understand the reason why executives want to be involved in the show. It's about protecting the brand. But, you know, too often they've got 20 other shows they're worrying about, and they don't really have the time to spend to fully understand what's going on. So they come in and they give notes, and usually the notes are not met with, you know, a lot of happiness. So we had full and complete creative control of the show, and it makes it – everybody that's been seeing the show says, look, I love the show. It's fully authentic. And on the set – the efficiency was huge. Oh, the efficiency – on the set, when we wanted to make a decision, we didn't have to go through a series of, you know, comedy by committee and wait for a decision. Things got done quickly, and we were able to shoot the show in a very efficient way.
You're hearing Jeff Valdez. He is the creator, executive producer, showrunner of The Garcias, which begins a new run and its first season run on HBO Max a week from today. 3 episodes off the bat, 2 more shortly after, and the rest to come. And Jeff joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on the special edition of the program about TV's current and future, where it is now here in New York. Simon Apfel with you. 48 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment or meeting this with Jeff, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApfel04 by name. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, you'll hear an entrepreneur who's trying to get a lot of African-American-owned television services off the ground. He runs a company called Urban Edge Networks. They were involved with Byron Allen's African-American-owned or black-owned media upfront last month, and also involved in an event that was taking place by Magna, the IMT Media Brands organization, earlier this week here in New York. And already he's got his own venture called HBCU League Pass. It's a sort of league pass for historically black African-American colleges and universities. And he also is working on a project with Grambling University, their own nationally presented channel. And that's just the beginning. The company, again, is Urban O Networks. The man is Todd Brown. You will meet him Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. He will be our lead guest right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jeff, it's interesting that Byron Allen and Jeff and Todd and other people like that are now trying to organize black-owned media companies, particularly those that really want to get into television. to work with advertising agencies, get more income. Is anybody doing that with Latino-owned companies or Latino-owned organizations that want to get into media?
Well, you know, I did that years ago with CTV. I started a cable channel from scratch, and it was always very frustrating, quite frankly, because when we'd go into advertising agencies, the white agencies would say, oh, we love the programming that you're doing. It's in English. We get that. But your last name is Valdez, so you got to go to the Hispanic agencies. And we go to the Hispanic agencies, and they go, oh, wow, well, we love the fact that your last name is Valdez, but this program's in English. You got to go to the English agencies. So, and sadly, I know people have made efforts since then, and they all just end up in the same place, that same, you know, back and forth. And I think where advertisers need to understand, and some have gotten it, but, you know, most of them just go, oh, well, you have Univision and Telemundo, which are not owned by Latinos at all, you know, and it's all in Spanish. So, that's not happening. And I had the opportunity to go into that world again, and I just chose not to do it because I think streaming is where things are at. And when I'm talking to all the big media companies and a lot of those CEOs, they're like, look, you know, we're shutting down a lot of our linear channels. And I think that there's a big opportunity in streaming, and that's really where our focus is. And also the other thing is when I had CTV, you know, the budget that we have for the Garcias, you know, we could have shot 100 shows on CTV for what we spent on the Garcias, right? So the Garcias actually had a real budget. And by the way, even though it had a real budget, I guarantee you it's probably the lowest budgeted show on HBO Max. But you know what? We're going to prove ourselves, and people are really getting excited about this show. Our social media went, I remember our TikTok site went from last Friday from like 69 followers and 300 views that we had amassed over like the past 3 months when we were filming. And now we're like, you know, 400,000 views and 3,000 followers. And it's just, you know, growing by the minute.
Incidentally, Magna, which is the organization I was talking about that has done this three-day, we just wrapped up this three-day event called Equity Upfront, initially was begun last year to just for African-American media. They are now expanding it to cover Latino-owned media, Asian-owned media, the LGBTQ, et cetera, community. I don't know if Native Americans on there yet, but we'll see. We're going to try to get some of the companies that were organized and have presented the last few days here in New York through Magna's event on our program, including one that was announced today that they're doing a bilingual Latino service that will be on smart TV sets and smart devices next month. I can't talk more about it. We're going to try to see if we can get hold of folks to have them come on our program. But it's nice to see that Magna expanding the idea.
I'm glad to hear all those efforts are happening out there. Like I said, our focus is going to be much more on reaching as broad an audience internationally and nationally with streaming and doing, you know, really, it's real because I've run a cable channel. I started one and it's hard to get the money to do really high budget stuff that, you know, I can go into all the details of why, but and the thing is, I always tell people, look, you know, one of the things with Latinos and I'm hearing it from more and more organizations, we're not, you know, our thing, we don't have the same issue that the black community has in that, you know, there's some real social justice problems within the black community. And does that happen in the Latinos? Are Latinos shot and all those things happen? Absolutely. But what we're trying to convey is we don't want to subscribe to BIPOC because, you know, don't be lazy. If somebody's black, reach out to them as the black community. If they're Asian, reach out to them as the Asian. Or if they're specifically Korean, get specific. Latinos, we are a business proposition. We're the $2.8 trillion for the seventh largest global economy. And when you consider that, a lot of the people that came here, you know, that were gardeners and maids and blue-collar workers built an economy that's the seventh largest global economy. We're twice as big as the black economy as far as the community. We're 33% of Gen Alphas, 25% of Gen Z. So it's, you know, what we're proposing is a business opportunity. You know, when the CEO of Verizon, Hans Versberg, 3 years ago said, if U.S. companies don't embrace the U.S. Latino audience and really understand them, they won't have a business in 10 years. And that was 3 years ago. So, you know, we're really trying to help push that forward. And again, always supportive of all the phenomenal inroads the black community has. They're over-indexing by 48% on some of the recent research I saw. We're under-indexing by 70%. So, you know, our effort is really to help promote that under-index. You know, again, I would never, ever wish anything than fantastic and more success to the black community, but at the same time, it's my desire to elevate the Latino community. Because,
well,
by the way,
about New Cadence, your venture with Sal Trujillo, and how you're doing that beyond the Garcias, beyond this one program.
Well, you know, what we did in the Garcias, I stole a page from Norman Lear and from Gary Marshall. Gary Marshall, back in Happy Days, did Mork and Mindy, spun off Mork and Mindy and Laverne and Shirley, and they were by accident. They just kind of broke out. And then All in the Family had seven Easter eggs in that show. Again, they were, you know, they weren't intentional. But what we did is, in this, I intentionally put in five Easter eggs in the show. So now if you go to the New Cadence Productions website, you can see on our sizzle reel all the new five shows that we've got they're not spinoffs of the Garcia. They're intended, planned new shows that we embedded inside the Garcias. So imagine writing 13 characters, which are in the show, character arcs for 10 episodes, and putting in five Easter eggs into the show. There was a lot of architectural work that went into it.
You might say it's like the Garcias universe. Universe seems to be the term now for franchise extensions. AMC used it last night, talking about the Walking Dead universe. Now they're talking about the Anne Rice universe. They're launching Interview with a Vampire this fall, Mayfair Witches next year, and they see, like, new shows popping up for the next 5 to 7 years just from the Anne Rice novels there.
We don't want to wait that long. We want to keep going right now.
Any other TV projects you're also working on with New Cadence?
We have a film that's based on a court case that's an amazing story that most people don't know. I can't officially talk about it yet, but, you know, we partner with Chris Weitz, who did About a Boy, A Better Life, Star Wars Story, American Pie, and we've got this amazing film project that we've got that we're financing, we're going forward with, and then we're working with a comedian that we're kind of doing a modern-day version of King of Queens kind of thing with this Latino comic. So we're soon to announce both of those projects.
There you go. The Garcias, bringing the Brothers Garcia to contemporary times, 2022. It premieres 1 week from today on HBO Max. It's available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and some areas also available through your local cable system. 3 episodes off the bat next Thursday, 2 more shortly after, and the rest to follow. For more details about the series and the service online, go to www.hbomax.com. That's www.hbomax.com. And if people want to know more about your production company with Sal Trujillo, New Cadence, where do they go?
I'm sorry, I missed the question.
If people want to know more about everything you're doing with New Cadence, where do they go online?
Oh, they can go to newcadenceproductions.com.
There you go, newcadenceproductions.com.
And that's where all about creating a new cadence.
With this interview, congratulations on bringing the Garcias back. And I have a hunch that what takes place starting Thursday is going to be getting a wonderful run. And it's great to hear also that you're back and blooming in the world of making great television.
Awesome, Simon. You've always been a scholar and a gentleman. I so appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. You too, Jeff. Take care. All the greatest.
Okay. Thanks, Simon.
Jeff Valdez from The Garcias on HBO Max joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow to be televised coming your way after the bottom of the hour. When we do, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. And then if you haven't heard, Jon Stewart did something last week on his Apple TV Plus show that, frankly, was reprehensible. He became a critical race theory junkie. We will explain. But first, we will pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You can have the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Blog Talk Radio. It's Off the Cuff Radio. It's music like you've never heard before, and it's all off the cuff on Off the Cuff Radio tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific only on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, best VTR 24/7, always at youtube.com. Welcome back to the remaining moments of our Tomorrow Be Televised program, 45-minute edition today on this Thursday afternoon of 2022. Simon, I'm with you live from New Weather, York. 48 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Yes, it is raining on and off. Expecting some thunder showers here in the New York area before the end of the day. But I'll tell you, all is bright and sunny down in Augusta. Yes, Tiger Woods is playing in the Masters, and that is a miraculous deal. So congratulations, Tiger. As we said about an hour ago, he had started the back nine. He was even under par through 11 holes. He's only three under par. And who knows? He may get a birdie before it's all done. Either way, what Tiger is doing today, 14, 15 months after his horrendous car accident in California, is really something very miraculous. Coming up next, classic trivia question and our John Stewart commentary. First, some words from the fine folks at audible.com. You know that HBO Max, which we're talking about in our first half hour, apparently they're working on some Sherlock Holmes spinoffs with Robert Downey Jr., who played the detective of Arthur Conan Doyle's classic tales for two Warner Brothers movies. He's going to be the producer in this, maybe more. Well, if you want the real Sherlock Holmes, as Arthur Conan Doyle described him in so many great tales, well, you can go to audible.com and pick up a wonderful audiobook narrated by that terrific actor, Stephen Fry. It's Sherlock Holmes, narrated by Stephen Fry, and it can be yours with a one-month trial to audible.com. Remember, audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, that one-month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and health and wellness information while it lasts. If you're an Amazon Prime customer, two audiobooks come your way for the trial of one. One of them from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcast series, best of Broadway or Broadway Regional Theater, great one woman and one man performances, and much, much more. Or, in Espanol, mucho más. So remember, how about giving Audible.com a trial? It's great audio programming for you or anyone you love, and it makes a great gift, too, for someone you love. That's only 1 month trial. So for all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised and hear for yourself how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Just listen to the good stuff anytime you like. And again, great gift for you or someone you love. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We introduced it on Monday's show. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win three prizes. The Nails and Cookbook from Netflix, the 20th anniversary Christmas with Tabernacle Choir DVD, that's the special was on last December on PBS and Brigham Young University Television, and the 20th anniversary, great, Blue's Clues notepad, courtesy of Nickelodeon. It's all yours if you get the answer and email it first to this. What 1970s television series had two Academy Award-winning actors play the same role? What 1970s television series had two Academy Award-winning actors play the same role? And you can see excerpts from that role by both actors on YouTube if you want to get a hint to the answer. All you got to do is email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name, where you're emailing from. If you're first to get the answer, you win. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in, so do so, and all the very best. John Stewart is a child of this generation, and he has become one of the major commentators of this generation through his various talk variety programs. It all started in the 80s with MTV. He drew a great following for it, so much so that Paramount Television decided, let's take that show on MTV, make it a nationally syndicated late-night program. They did for a year, and despite good reviews, and unfortunately did not get the audience. Nevertheless, Stewart persevered with comedy specials, other things as well, and then, of course, came his super break, The Daily Show on Comedy Central. It became the flagship show of the network, won all sorts of awards, and John became known as somebody who not only spooked the news every night, but also became one of its leading commentators. Well, John is right now doing a new series, a weekly series for Apple TV Plus called The Problem. And last Friday, he had a problem that frankly turned out to be a very big problem to yours truly. And that's why I'm doing a comment on it right now. The episode was called The Problem with White People. And if you saw the episode or you've seen clips on YouTube, it's very easy to conclude that what John Stewart did was basically come out of the closet and say, I am an advocate of critical race theory. I believe that white people are this and black people are that and so on and so forth. He was joined by three guests. Two of them sort of sided with him, named Chip Gallagher, who is an educational professor, and Lisa Bond, who runs her own group, and I'm not even going to say more about it because from what she said about it, it was absolutely ridiculous. And then there was a voice of reason. His name was Andrew Sullivan. He is one of the top political and culture commentators around. I've watched him on television, various programs, seen his work and written his work as well. Sometimes I agree with what he has to say, and sometimes I think, well, maybe off the grind. However, I do respect what he has to say and how he says it. And frankly, he provided a fantastic, fantastic perspective, which is basically this, that white supremacy and critical race theory are some of the most ridiculous, disgusting theories and practices that anybody could believe. Of white privilege, Andrew Sullivan said the following, and I quote, "This is the most absurd hyperbole I've ever heard." And here's what he had to say about where we're at in terms of diversity and what this country is about. And I'm going to quote it verbatim. And it was, I think, one of the most marvelous, marvelous things I've heard anybody say when it comes to this whole critical race theory issue. And I quote, "America in 2022 is the most multiracial, multicultural, relevant, tolerant, diverse, excuse me, tolerant, diverse melting pot that has ever existed on planet Earth." I'm going to say this one more time. America in 2022 is the most multiracial, multicultural, tolerant, diverse melting pot that has ever existed on planet Earth. The studio audience that heard Andrew Sullivan say that should have, in my opinion, immediately gave him a standing ovation. It's absolutely marvelous. He's so correct. And any listener of this program would also see that on the basis of what's been happening with the TV industry, where we are seeing more people of color get more opportunities in television as people create new series, produce, write, and direct or act, that more people of color are launching production companies, that more people of color are getting promo development deals with the likes of Netflix or Boat Rocker Media or Walt Disney or Warner Brothers, or what will soon be Warner Brothers Discovery. And they're also forming new networks that are running on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And yet, it was John Stewart's role to tear Andrew Sullivan down and tear him to pieces, a la Daniel in the Lion's Den. And Andrew Sullivan, to his credit, would have none of it. Even when John Stewart basically told off Sullivan with some expletives, it was disgusting to watch. And what was even made more reprehensible was that the studio audience cheered Stewart and cheered his other two colleagues in the studio. Sullivan, by the way, appeared by remote. It's one of the most disgusting things I've seen in a long time. I, for the life of me, never thought I would see John Stewart, who, by the way, has been a wonderful advocate for 9/11 victims here in New York, to get more funding to deal with what they're dealing with. And for him to basically say, "I am an advocate of critical race theory," is disgusting. It's abominable. And this program really was one of the low water, I think one of the low water marks of his career and one of the low water marks of television's 2022. John Stewart and everybody involved in that program should be ashamed of themselves. How dare they suggest that critical race theory is a theory that should be welcomed and practiced and advocated when we as a country have made so much progress and continue to, certainly in TV industry, but in other industries too, for diversity. It's not to say racism doesn't exist, but it's not systematic, and it's not systematic. And not everybody who is white is this, and everybody who is African-American is this, or Native American is that, or so on and so forth. You wish that Martin Luther King would come out from the spirit world and say, "Hey, guess what, John? You don't judge people by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And your character is not a great one right now." I'm really ashamed of what John Stewart had to say. He really showcased himself, as I said at the beginning of the program, a critical race theory junkie. It's really sad to see that. I hope that John does a follow-up program, and here's what should happen. He should have three guests, all of whom are not practitioners of critical race theory, and give them an education about why critical race theory is one of the most damaging things that could be presented to people in this country. I've said it before on this program, and in place I'll say it again. Critical race theory is abomination. It's an abomination. And it's amazing that people are teaching it in schools or trying to showcase it in various ways in this country. It's a backward move, and it's time to go forward, like we are doing post-coronavirus pandemic. I'll say this one more time to paraphrase Master Po in the classic TV series Kung Fu. For anybody who advocates, practices, preaches, proliferates, or supports critical race theory in these United States or anywhere in the world, it is time for you to leave. I want to thank Jeff Valdez for being with us on today's program and congratulate him and Charles Trujillo on New Canes Productions. I'd love to have him back. I will have him back and see what he's up to as New Canes continues its new path in television. And thank all of you, of course, for tuning in. Once again, tomorrow on our program, in our regular day and time period, we will have, reset from Monday's show, the wonderful executive producer and director of the critically acclaimed Apple TV Plus series, Slow Horses, James Hawes. He directed all the episodes of this popular program, Spy Dramedy. You might say crazy mix of The Spy Who Came In from the Cold and The Dirty Dozen, starring Academy Award winner Gary Oldman. It should be a lot of fun. We'll have him live from London. That's coming up tomorrow on our program. And Monday, we'll have from Urban Edge Networks, the co-founder and chief executive of that very exciting enterprise, Todd Brown. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcasts. They're available on Apple Podcasts. They're available also on Amazon Music, Verbal Reason, the iRadio Podcast Network, and our newest affiliate, Spotify. We also love to hear from you, so check me out. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And also you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So however you communicate, we communicate back. Why? Like we say around here, what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They're not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Tell is BTR's general manager. Jay Soderberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Audible transforms the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff. Go to audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you and someone you love. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcast affiliates. Whatever you're doing between now and then, of course, make it great. Go Tiger with the Masters. And if you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor, check out your medical situation, find out about all the treatments available to you as an alternative to vaccines, and then make a choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.